My name is Joan. I'll sit down now just to share, but I'm Joan T. from First Central Jersey Intergroup, then Jersey Shore Intergroup, and I love to do service. I've done a lot of service positions and just finished up one in Region 7, and I'm the outreach chair for our intergroup now. I am really, really happy to be doing this 10 minutes on body image. I could do 10 years on body image, but 10 minutes is it, and that's what it will be. So I did make some handouts. I only made 30, though, of each, but I have some, too. Okay. It's a body image assessment, and it's just kind of, you know, you answer never, sometimes, often, or always. Like, I don't like looking at myself in mirrors. Really. That was a biggie. I think I'll leave them for anybody that wants them, Helen, thank you. And this is, at each period of your life listed below, what did you look like, and what were the key influences, and how you felt about your looks. Be sure to mention important cultural and interpersonal influence, and goes from early childhood till right now. It's just something that I found very helpful when I was working on it for me. I've been in the rooms 33 years. And I started in June of 1981. I just came in and weighed 335 pounds. My whole life was ruled by how I looked. And that is not an exaggeration. You know, I've learned in the rooms not to hold resentment and lay blame, but I grew up with extreme resentments because my mother had, her only focus was appearance. And she always felt very disappointed that she was thin and she had two fat daughters. And that's all that I remember her always saying, why did God have to give me two fat daughters? So the thing was, that colored everything. It didn't matter what we wore, how we looked. Nothing looked good. It was always like, well, how do you think you look? I can remember coming home from a date, and well, before I went out, I said, how do I look? And she said, well, how would you think you looked? And it was like, oh, it was so painful. So I grew up, and one of the questions that I thought I would talk about was who influenced how you felt about yourself. My mother was a product of her own environment. I think she was a product of, you know, all the glamour girls of the 1920s and 30s, and that's what she wanted for her. And her thing was, when she was first married, she would say, you always have to get up an hour ahead of your husband to put on all your makeup and your good clothes so that he won't fool around with his secretary. I believe me, that's all, I got that message. It's like, well, that your whole life is you have to look good. That's the only, well, I never looked good. So that didn't work, you know, and of course I didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater, so the worse I felt, the more I ate, and that was my body image for me. The message was always, you're better off if you're thin. So that was everything. By the time I came into the rooms, I had eaten my way up to 335 pounds. I had dieted like we all diet. I had been to every weight, you know, club and everything, and diet pills, back and forth until I wanted to scream. And it was, when I finally came in, it was that surrender where I said, I can't live like this anymore. I can't walk across the backyard. I was 38 years old. Needless to say, did I hate myself? I couldn't even take a bath anymore without the water jamming up behind me, and all of the things that are so painful and so awful. And I lived my life like that every day. I would walk down the street and kids would make fun of me because I'm not that tall, and I'm like 5'3". And nobody weighs that. I outweighed everybody, my husband, everybody in the family. So when I came into the rooms, that was my focus. And I want to tell you now how that's changed. When I came in, my sponsor did not work the steps the same way. It wasn't about that. It was more of a less the food plan. And I got onto that orange sheet, I remember, because I didn't want that carb, but she ate that carb. And I had never been normal weight. Even in sixth grade, I was probably 150 pounds. And, you know, all the way down, I was always, every picture I have, I was fat. So I decided, at that point, I decided that I should weigh about 116, because isn't that what kids weigh in high school? And after all, I missed all that. So that happened. I lost all this. It took me 2 years. I was rigid with that food plan. I didn't deviate one little bit. It was about the body image. Clothes couldn't get tight enough. They couldn't get, you know, they were so uncomfortable, but they couldn't get small enough. And then I went to anorexia. I couldn't see it. And my mother at the time would say to me, God love her, God bless her soul, you're thinner than I am now, you have to stop. You have to stop. So she was the standard. You're thinner than I am, you have to stop. Well, I wasn't stopping. And needless to say, I relapsed. After all this, it was crazy. The white knuckling and the craziness. And I put on 80 pounds. And it just, that was it. I just was so sure it would never happen. And boy, whew. And I did come back 17 years ago to the rooms under the advice of a professional. And it wasn't not about the body. It was not about how tight your clothes can be and how you could feel this way, that way, the other thing. It was about living a normal life with sanity. My body image is very different today than it was 30 years ago. I do weigh and measure my food. Yes, I weigh myself. Yes, I go to curbs. But I do all those things to be healthy. I think now, as I look back, God has given me so many blessings with my body. This body has carried me for 72 years. And yeah, I mean, do I have crooked knees? I do. Is this out of shape? Is that out of shape? Do I have a saddlebag here and there? Kids, the grandkids play with the, what they call it, my pinching jelly under the, they don't think it hurts. They'll pull down on my arms and say, wow, wow, grandma. And I said, that hurts, that hurts. It's still attached. But it's okay. It will never go away. I thought at one time when I first came in, if I dieted enough and exercised enough, my body would come back and it would be perfect. Well, no, it wasn't. But it doesn't matter. It's not about a perfect body. It's not about a perfect size. It's not about being perfect. It's about working to have a healthy, normal life. I never knew what normal was. I like me today. I've got all these wrinkles. I've got all this stuff. I see that. I look in the mirror and the eyes are sagging. And, you know, it doesn't matter because this is the best I can be with what I do every day. And I like what I do every day because I wake up, I feel good, and I wear okay clothes. They don't have, you know, it's not the same. I don't look at the label and say, oh, it's this size, so this must be right, whether it fits or not. If it's comfortable, if it matches, if I feel good, I never had that self-esteem. I never was a sane person. I didn't ever call out on my kids for their weight. And that's the one thing they'll say to me, you never said a word about our weight. And my kids are, everybody has a weight problem. I know that. And they struggle with it and they go back and forth. And they try to listen to what I do. They don't want to do what I do yet. They're not there yet. But they have become very, very spiritual in their thinking, and they have become much more healthy in mind, because we certainly weren't like that in our house when I was raising them, because even with the program at that time, I had a terribly distorted image of what a body should look like. I am pleased to say that today I don't have that. I'm happy that I can walk, drive, do whatever that I have to do. Did I think that my life would be better if I were thinner? I did. Life is good. Life is good. It didn't matter. I remember when I was at my thinnest weight, and my mother said, well, now you'll never want to go back, because then you'll have to buy all new clothes. Well, guess what? When I put on that 80 pounds, I threw those clothes out. I didn't want to see them because they reminded me of where I had been and what I had lost in what I thought was sanity. And I don't do that anymore. When the seasons change and I change clothes, and if they're old and I don't wear them anymore or whatever, they go in the garbage or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not what's important to my life. So what have I gained in these rooms? I've gained self-esteem. I've gained spirituality, a lot of love, a lot of self-acceptance. And I have let go of all of that other stuff that I thought was so important when I came in, because otherwise it would just be a diet club. So thank you.
Okay. You still have time. It's a good time. Okay. I'm giving myself 8. Give you 8 to them. Okay. I'm Pat, and I've been in programs since 1989. And basically keeping off a 40-pound weight loss. I am a little different than a lot of the people. My thing growing up is I was always very, very skinny. I got married at 20, I was 95 pounds. And I know my husband used to say, I'm marrying you for your potential. Well, I overshot it, and that's what happened over the years. And I know, growing up, my mom was a dry alcoholic, and I was her best friend. And she would always call me her little butterfly, you know? And I remember doing work with somebody and them saying, wow, that must have been wonderful. I said, not really. And I said, because I knew I had to be pretty and I had to do the right things in order to be loved. That's what I was, because I did everything she wanted to do. And she'd say, oh, you're so cute. It was like having a doll, you know? Oh, she's so pretty, she's got the little bows, whatever. And for me, that gave me the idea growing up that in order to be of any value, I had to be pretty. Because if I'm not pretty, then what purpose do I have? And it's funny because when I got to meet my husband, and I was 95 pounds, and we got married, and I had to have my dress made and everything else. And over the years, even when I was, just before I married him, is all the girls were developing at puberty. Well, I wasn't. And I was always called a carpenter's dream, flat as a board. And that's what I was always told, you know. And they'd look at me and the guys would say, you're just like one of us, you know. You don't have to worry about any of us going for you because you're like one of the guys. And I used to literally sit on the beach and say, God, please make me fatter. Please make me fatter. And I always thought God had a sense of humor because years later he did make me heavier. And I know for me, I wanted a chest. That was a big thing. Like, I wanted a chest. And I can remember so vividly going to a prom with a boy with two girls on either side of me that were like here. And I got in and I was like covering myself, like, nobody's going to see that I don't have a chest. Right, okay. And I remember getting to there, and my husband's old girlfriend was wearing the exact dress that I was wearing. And she was well developed. And I remember going into the bathroom and crying and saying, I'm not coming out. I'm not coming out, you know. And I came out and we went home because I was so devastated. And then when I was going along, what brought me into this room was the craziness. And I remember my daughter had a breakdown of anxiety attack. And the doctor told me that I should see somebody, that maybe I had a problem with food. And now I was 132 pounds, 138 pounds, and I'm like, okay, I'm 40 pounds more than I got married. That's not a lot. And then I remember saying, but what does the food have to do with anything? You know, I can lose this weight. I've done it so many times before. I mean, I've got more pins from one of the programs I went to than anything else. And he said, it's not about your weight, it's about your head. And what I realized, and I've come to realize over the years, is that the way I see myself is not what I see in the mirror, but what I see in my head. And I can look in that mirror, and I can be 100 pounds again, but I'll see 173, which is what I went up to. And I don't see myself as thin and, you know, like people look at me and they'll say, oh, you're thin. And I say, no. I'm a medium to large built, you know. And they look at me and they think I'm crazy. But I, honest to God, see that in a mirror. But that's okay now. You know why? Because it's who I am. I've come to understand that I was going through a really hard time years ago, maybe 5 years ago, of coming into rooms and people not looking at me, men not looking at me like they used to, because there was a lot of younger girls there. And I felt like, wow, I'm not pretty, I'm not sexual anymore. I don't have anything going for me. But I came to understand that it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. What I have going for me is I have a program, I'm sane every morning, and when I look in that mirror and I see myself as something I'm not, I know that'll pass. That's not where I have to run to the scale and get on and start dieting. No, that'll pass because it's just a bad day and that's what I'm seeing. That's not my reality. And I really believe that now. And it was funny because I was getting a dress for my son's wedding and the lady was trying the dresses, was giving me the dresses. And when my husband went into the hospital 3 years ago, I gained 30 pounds in the month that I was there. And it was just eating two meals, everything in between. I was a wreck. And I was 173. I'm now down to 134, okay? And that was just following my food program. And no, it didn't come off in 3 months the way it used to come off. It took a couple of years. So what? I'm gonna be here anyway. Doesn't really matter. And I was trying to dress on for my son's wedding, and the woman looked at me, a little Polish lady, and she looked at me and she goes, "Oh my God, you have a shape like a little model." And I went, "Okay." And I went in the dressing room and I said, "What the hell mirrors is she looking at? You know, I don't have a little girl's model, you know, give me a break." And I remember hearing on the radio the other day that they have in this Illustrated swimsuit wear, Sports Illustrated, that they have supersized women now, okay? That's anything over a size 6 is a supermodel. And they said that the average woman is, the average woman is a size 14. That is the average woman. And we're believing that what we see in those magazines is the reality, and it's not. And I looked and I said, "Oh, well, I guess I'd be a supersized model." And I said, "But why doesn't that sound good? Like, you know, just that that person's a model is nice. I mean, what is it? If you're a 12 or 14, so what? The beauty is in here more." And through this program and the people I'm surrounded with and working the steps with a sponsor, I'm telling you something. I really can appreciate me. And I can appreciate my body that gave me 3 beautiful children. They weren't very beautiful when they were younger, but they are now. They even treat me to lunch. But 3 beautiful children. I see the sun in the morning. I feel the rain on my hand. I can hear the birds singing. This is what my body does for me. And it doesn't have to perform for anybody anymore. I'm just who I am. So that's my story.
Thanks, Dick.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Jill, a food addict and worthy of recovery for today.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
I didn't always think that on a daily basis. I work at feeling worthy. I've come from being, you know, very big in numbers and over 400 pounds. And I work at not only the... you know, losing the thoughts that I'm still not good enough, because all through growing up, I was asked, not only, you know, through the teenage years, I was not only asked, you know, "Jill, are you gonna lose weight?" It's kind of like, "Jill, don't you wanna be pretty and wear pretty clothes?" Well, I heard Jill lose weight. So the more that I was asked that, I knew that I wasn't going to be anything but pretty. But pretty ugly, pretty fat, pretty dumb, pretty ignorant. That's all I heard as pretty fitting into that category. And through coming to recovery and working the steps, working with a lot of people to you know, maintain my weight loss, which today it's, I think, 278 pounds. And I do this one day and one meal at a time for past 7.5 years. Thank you. I was always thinking that once I get the weight off and found a higher power and got a relationship and did all the, you know, all my legs and my stool would be, you know, good so that I could sit or stand on it, you know, to do my program. And it was just, no, it needed to be something more, because it was always what was in between my ears while I was eating. And I always heard what I wanted to hear. I never wanted to listen to suggestions, advice, any authority. I never wanted to do that. I never wanted people to know me, although as a child, I was adopted, so I had a big abandonment issue. It was like and so after that, after growing up and learning that, you know, being adopted, I was chosen, you know, instead of just, you know, people having children. So I was chosen, so that I was grateful for, but that was a long time later. But, you know, it was like, I had to get help. I was either, you know, I was either going to stop eating and live or keep eating and die. There was no medium. I needed to do that. And through my mom dying, she sent me, you know, a sponsor that, you know, asked me, am I willing to go to any lengths? And that's what I do. And it was like, I knew that I was the biggest person coming into the rooms, coming through the doors. I was afraid of the chairs because there was a lot of arms on all the chairs, so I had nowhere to sit. I couldn't get from here to the door without getting out of breath. So it was like I was limited and felt very alone and isolated. So what I needed to do is listen to suggestions and follow what the people before me did and, you know, do it one day at a time. And that's all I had. I joined the gym then, and it was like I had to exercise to get 100 pounds off to do aquasize so I can fit into a bathing suit. It was, you know, I had one uniform being that overweight because there was no clothes stores that would fit my, you know, the clothes for me to wear. So it was very, but being home and eating, it's like, you know, I ate from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed. So it was like I had nowhere to go, so it didn't matter what I was wearing. So it got to be the point that, you know, a bad just feeds in the bad, and then it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and then you see no sunlight out, even though it's a bright, sunny day. So now these days I can appreciate, you know, the sun, the rain, you know, when the birds are singing, and a rainbow. I can appreciate all that because I never took notice of any of that. And I know that there's hope. That's always my topic, is hope, because I came in here hopeless. And now I have hope, thanks to having a sponsor that I follow, having sponsees that guide me, and I guide them. So I think that it works on, you know, with, you know, you meet somebody halfway, and doing the steps, I think that I have to continually do 4 through 9 when I let the resentments get the best of me, because once I think that I'm putting something or somebody else in front of my higher power, that's when I need to, that's my message. I need to, you know, work on this because I don't want to eat over anything. It's just, it's not, you know, it's not going to serve me in the long run. So, you know, I continually work with, you know, what's in between my head that, you know, I still go in the stores and I go to the biggest clothes because I think that's what I still wear. So it's like, it's sometimes I even get the clothes and bring them home and say, pull this up. This doesn't fit me, but it's still my mind telling me that my head is still overweight. So I have to work on that continuously. And through I gained through the program is compassion and love from fellowship. And I feel nothing but blessed through doing this program and grateful that I'm a food addict and found peace. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jill. And my name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive overeater, and there's no doubt about it.
Barbara.
Hurry up the time.
I was going to bring a picture of a dog that's on a calendar I have, and I just when we sat down here, I realized I didn't bring it, but I can tell you about it. It's an Afghan kind of dog with nice long hair, and he's sitting in the barber's chair, or, you know, the beauty parlor chair, and the worker is standing behind him, and he's got this picture of a beagle. And it says, be happy with who you are.
Love that.
So. I'm going to start with a poem because I'm always doing poems. So here's my poem about body image. I have a copy of the poem for those who want it and a copy of another piece that I put together if you want it afterwards. Okay. Body image. Image is the picture I have in my imagination of what my body looks like. I have never seen it, actually. I have only seen mirror images of it. What I see seems mightily influenced by what I am thinking about myself. Whilst I was standing naked once in the bathroom, The love of my life commented to me that I had a cute little body. I had never thought of such a thing about myself before that moment, but somehow, because of the love that existed in that relationship, I was able to come to believe it. I have a cute little body. Never thought that. Now I think kindly about the vehicle I've been issued to carry around my soul. Some sages claim that I am an imago Dei, an image of God. This is a concept very difficult to believe, yet I am asked to keep an open mind on the subject. I have heard it is wisest to see the image of myself in the eyes of others. So this will be my prayer.
Nice, Barb.
I was born into a house of shame. The family was shamed by my older sister, 2 years older than I, who was, we used to say retarded, but had other defects. But she had maybe the maturation of a 4 to 6 year old. She lived till 75. But I picked up that family message that I should be ashamed of myself, or I was ashamed of myself. And that is a good basis for addiction. When I was a teenager, I had a pretty normal looking body until I got to be into my sexual development, 16, 17. And because I just could not handle these feelings, I went to food. And then at some point, not too long after that, I spent a year in Scotland. In Scotland, they have breakfast, elevensies, lunch, tea, and dinner, and something before bed. So I did it all, and I did about the amounts of food that I had in America, whereas the Scottish, they have much less with each meal. So I came back about 40 pounds heavier, looking like a beach ball. And my dad made some comments about it because he was one of those prejudiced people about obesity. And that was when my roller coaster began. My roller coaster of lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain weight, try everything. I've tried everything. There's nothing I haven't tried to lose weight because I thought that it was an outside job. And I didn't really understand the whole message of OA way back then because I wasn't here. So for me, it's been a spiritual transition to go from being ashamed of my body, of the way I looked, of my arms, my big fat arms, and never seeing anything beautiful when I looked in the mirror, to feeling that I'm acceptable and I like the way I look. I'll tell you, I'm getting older too. And as a matter of fact, I just turned 77. And when I look in the mirror, I see this kind of round belly and a flat bottom. It's sort of opposite the way one thinks it should be. But it's the way it is, and I'm beautiful. So about being the Imago Dei, I dreamed this. I actually dreamed this when I knew I was going to do this workshop. Blessing your body. I was thinking we're going to do this physically, but I'll just tell you about it. And it is a paper that I have here. blessing your body, think about yourself as God's worker or God's creation, if you don't mind that word, God, or higher powers, loving creation. And every part of you is that. So you are blessed in your body because you are made in the image of God. The hairs on your head are numbered. Every hair on your head is blessed. The hair God gave you is suited perfectly for you to cover your head with warmth. Bless your ears. They are instruments of connection. God gave us two to better hear the words and the feelings of others. Let your ears take in the stories from another's heart, and let your understanding come from your heart. Bless your eyes. They are the windows of the soul. We have eyes to see the beauty that is everywhere, beauty that is nourishing. Your eyes convey love. Your soul is pure love, made after love itself. Let kindness, acceptance, and love come through your eyes. Bless your nose, right there in the middle of your face, a place of importance. Thank God for the sense of smell, the incense and aroma, the sweetness in the air. Your nose breathes in the air which carries the oxygen to give life. Bless your mouth. Let your words be chosen carefully and thoughtfully to convey love and understanding. Let your voice be heard. You have a message to bring that is one of a kind. Bless your thinking. By thinking, you come to an understanding of processes and people. Let your mind be open and curious, not judgmental. The mind is a key to the practice of acceptance. Acceptance of yourself, of others, of circumstances and situations. Bless your heart, the very center of your being. Nurture your awareness and connection to your heart. Make choices which resonate with your heart. In the heart, we can cultivate compassion and mercy toward ourselves and others. Learning compassion for myself has been one of the hardest journeys in this program for me. Bless your tears and laughter, expressions of your belonging. Abstinence restores our tears and laughter. They are godsends for coping with life on life's terms. They are agents of change, and they will help us to grow. Bless your torso. In it are all the vital organs of your being. Into it, you supply the food you need in order to flourish. The inner workings of the body are a miraculous, marvelous mechanism to provide us with daily energy for the work of love. Bless your arms and hands, which provide the way of reaching out and touching another human being, a beloved animal, an element of the earth, and other things. Bless your legs and feet, which hold you upright and carry you to where you are needed. So it's a whole other way of looking at your body. Your body is here for the purpose of love. I was at a retreat once when the retreat leader, it was a 12-step retreat, kept saying, "You are beautifully, wonderfully, marvelously made. You are good, whole, wholesome, and holy. You are the word of God, spoken only once." I am beautifully, wonderfully, marvelously made. I am good, whole, wholesome, and holy. I am the word of God, spoken only once. We are beautifully, wonderfully, marvelously made. We are good, whole, wholesome, and holy. We are the Word of God, spoken only once. 1992, 5 years after I got sober. Getting sober, someone was saying this morning, you get one addiction into some manageability, and then another one pops up. So I got sober and gained weight. And I realized, because 12-step was in my life, that OA might be the place I needed to go. So I came in 1992, and I tried for 17 years to do it my way. Guess what? It never worked. I was doing pretty well during this period of time that my husband was dying, because I couldn't eat, I was a caretaker, and I thought, I've got this knocked, got it knocked, and then he died. And then my weight went back up. And it's so devastating when the weight goes back up, when you've gotten to where you think you want to be, and then it goes back up. So I realized that I was unmanageable again, and I got down, for the first time, got down on my knees. And I asked God to please help me, because it was definitely beyond me to find the body that I was supposed to have and stay with it. Mm-hmm. Next day I woke up with acid reflux, and I thought, that's not really what I had in mind, but that was what happened. And then about 2 weeks later, this thought came into my head. Just, you know, I've been in OA for 17 years, and the thought was, maybe I shouldn't eat sugar. Well, that's a novel idea. So I stopped eating sugar up to a point. You know, I did it my way again. I still allowed some substances that I thought were natural and not refined. And then I went into the hospital, had a heart procedure, and woke up feeling incredibly good, like I could jump up and run around the bed. And I attributed that to the fact that I then had 3 weeks of no sugar in my body, so I was impressed. And then my dentist said, boy, your gums look better than I've ever seen them. That was like 2 months of no sugar in my body, so I was impressed. And all the way through December, see, it was October that I got down on my knees. So this is November, I'm telling you about. All the way through December, a friend kept saying, you should get a sponsor. And I said, yeah, I know. And I really couldn't find anybody that was worthy of being my sponsor. So sometime in January, these words came, and I said, you know, I probably should get a sponsor. So I'm hopeless at finding the sponsor. So what I'm going to do is, sitting in the room waiting for people to come into a meeting, I said, the next person that comes in the door, I'm going to ask to be my sponsor. It's up to you. Next person that came in, I asked her to be my sponsor. She said, fine, I'll be glad to be your sponsor, but I have a condition. You need to eat on the food plan that I eat. And that was how. It was the how food plan. So I said, whatever. I've heard other people say, whatever you say, I'm going to do it, because I can't do this myself. So that was the beginning of, was that the beginning of my abstinence? My abstinence is now 7 years old. So yes, that was the beginning. I got a sponsor, and I started eating according to the weigh and measure and a certain amounts. There's been one change, and that is I no longer have the evening meal, because in aging, you need less food. So I just do the 3 meals and nothing in between, and weighed and measured. And I'm not perfect. There are times when I binge on something other than sugar, wheat, and flour. So all I can say is I haven't had any sugar, wheat, and flour for 7 years. I work the steps. I start my day with step 3. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, because it's the bondage of self that always sets me off into a binge. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties And I forgot.
Victories over them.
Victory over them.
Victory over them may bear witness to others of thy strength and thy power and thy way of life. Right. So in this total spiritual program, I need God's direction. And I look for God's direction all the time. And now I have, what Joe was saying, a healthy, normal life. As normal as a life can be is my life. I am the same size from season to season. It used to be every spring I would find out that I couldn't get into the spring clothes that I'd been in last summer, and vice versa. But now, it's the same clothes for 7 years, which is pretty neat. The other thing is, I never got happy, joyous, and free. I kept thinking, I hear this in AA, but I'm not getting it. And I got it after I got abstinent, which was 22 years sober. I got happy, joyous, and free. And it was because I dealt with this other addiction. So, as Joe said, it took a couple of years, but what difference does it make? Or somebody said that, because I'm going to be here anyway. I'm here, and it's my life. My rescue. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we have any questions?
Yes, for sharing.
Okay.
There you go.
We have 10 minutes. Anybody that would like to come up and share body image? I liked some of the questions that I was reading about. These were writing starters that I found online when I was going for the OA body image work things a few years ago. And just thoughts. My negative body image limits me from doing things I want to do. What are some activities that I don't do because of my negative body image? How can I counteract my thinking when I realize that my body image is limiting my activities? Also, whenever a man or woman walks into the room, I compare myself to him or her. Media standards, personal physical ideals to the body of my younger days and come up short. Okay, how does that make you feel? As I shared, if I look different, my life would be better. And how do numbers affect your body image, the numbers on the scale, your clothing sizes and things? That used to be just awful for me because that metal devil in the bathroom always regulated who I was and what I was, and it was so humiliating. And I can remember when I went to the doctor and my home scale didn't go up anymore over 300, and he wanted me to get on the scale. The nurse did, and I said no. And that was shortly before program, and she said no, and I said no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I never did that. I never refused because I was going there for help. Obviously, I was sick. And she said, oh. And I said, no, because I will get so depressed and I don't want to turn around and have you know and I won't know. It was insanity. And it was always a measure of my self-worth. So the floor is open. Please come up.
Come on up.
Sure.
Well, you could take it back to your seat, whatever you feel comfortable
whatever
with.
Whatever you're comfortable. If you want to line up over here, that's fine. We have 10 minutes.
Interestingly enough, when I was very, very heavy, when I was very, very heavy, I really wasn't worried about the weight as much. All of a sudden, when I started to lose the weight, then all of a sudden, it started to become, oh, I gained a pound, I lost